The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Well, the time's just gone 18 minutes past five. Joining us now on the line and not zooming along this afternoon on the afternoon overdrive with spokesperson for the South African Zionist Federation, Rolien Marks. Rolien, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us once again on the show.
Good afternoon. Always good to be on Chai FM.
And welcome once again, Rolien. So, I must admit, I didn't really watch and listen to this article. I was a bit sidetracked, but we agreed to look at this article regarding Israel abiding by very strict laws of armed conflict. How does the legal mechanism function? Over to you.
I think this is the most important question and discussion that we should be having, along with speaking about humanitarian aid, which we're going to be speaking about in a second. Mm-hmm. But it's very, very important to reiterate to people that despite the noise that you hear in the media around the world, a lot of conjecture, Israel is very, very strict about abiding by very, very strict rules and laws of armed conflict. And these laws govern exactly how Israel conducts itself throughout our military campaign in Gaza. Now, during the course of this past week, we have heard both from the Biden administration saying that there is absolutely no evidence of genocide inside the Gaza Strip. We've also heard from Foreign Secretary David Cameron reiterating that his country will continue to send arms to Israel because according to their very strict measuring mechanisms, Israel is abiding with the laws, with international law. Now, I know many people bring up issues like proportionality, and we can have a whole discussion about what that is, but very, very simply put, it's the measurement of the military advantage that you gain, or rather, let's look at it in another way, the military target or threat that you are striking in relation to what you have to carry out. Maybe not phrased as legally as possible, but you can understand that before there is any strike, our army goes through the legal mechanisms, which is the various levels of legalities, lawyers who measure everything. If we engage in this strike, what is the impact? What kind of weapons do we use? How do the planes fly? All those very, very intricate things. All those are taken into account when Israel engages in any kind of strike action.
Right.
So when people throw around words like disproportionate force, they think that a strike is you fired a missile, therefore we fire a missile. No, it's dealt proportionately with the military gains that you gain with engaging in that strike. And we have various levels or layers of legalities that are cleared before Israel engages in any kind of strike action. So when we're talking about legal mechanisms and we're talking about how Israel engages and is very strict about the laws of armed conflict, this is what we're speaking about. Also very important, and you and I had this discussion all of last year, is what role does the Supreme Court play? And the Supreme Court also forms an important legal layer when we're talking about the laws of armed conflict and making sure that Israel abides exactly as per our code of ethics.
Rolien, you know what intrigues me is what you've just outlined now. Who exactly, all right, so Israel is being vetted and watched very closely as to how Israel conducts its military campaign in Gaza and, yes, on the Northern Front, but who exactly is vetting this? Are they with forces that they can perhaps supply reports to the United Nations, which seemingly doesn't believe anything that Israel's doing?
Well, we have to remember that the International Court of Justice is an agency of the United Nations. So when they've asked for reports, and Israel has already provided the World Court with our first report, those are the mechanisms that the United Nations will measure by. And that is why when the court looked at the evidence put forward by Israel, when we made our case at the International Court of Justice, they they could see that we are fighting a very, very complex military campaign with a very, very sophisticated and well-entrenched in their civilian population opponent or enemy, and that's why they didn't use the term genocide. Now, yesterday, you and because genocide is not about numbers. We have to remember that genocide is about intent. Now, yesterday, you and I had the discussion about the fact that the numbers that we are getting from the Hamas-controlled Gaza Ministry of Health, they have admitted that there are some major discrepancies. Mm-hmm. And where are the discrepancies? In the forms that are being filled out.
Right.
We don't know if they are martyr,
right,
as per the form, or something else, and so the number of over 11,000, there is now a discrepancy around that number. Mm. So Israel has said that, you know, our ratio of combatants to civilian is 1-1, or just over 1-1, which is the lowest in a wartime scenario. And if we look at the numbers and we subtract the amount of Hamas combatants that have been eliminated by Israel, and we're left with that remaining number, It certainly raises a lot of questions.
It certainly does, Rolene. I just wish we could unpack that a bit further, but we've still got a few things to unpack whilst we've got you on the line. So, preparations in place for an impending Iran attack. What are you seeing on the ground there?
Well, I can tell you that Israel is very, very tense at the moment. An official from the United States saying that it is not a matter of if, but when. And we can see the Israeli Air Force have been engaged in drills, in air drills. We know, and we spoke about it earlier this week, that combat officers had their leaves cancelled, that different air defense units were called up. And among the population, there is a sense of trepidation, a sense of anxiety. And we have heard from the U.S. Secretary of State, Blinken, who has said that the United States will support Israel if Iran strikes, and making a point of telling Al Jazeera. Now, Al Jazeera, as we know, is the de facto mouthpiece of Hamas. They are based in Qatar. And the U.S. officials making a point of telling Al Jazeera that they have not ruled out a strike on Iran should Iran attack Israel. And earlier today, Germany's foreign minister appealing to her Iranian counterpart, saying, "We appeal to you to use maximum restraint."
Okay. Rolene, let's look at the humanitarian aid in Gaza at the moment. What is the status regarding that right now, given that there's such a spotlight on it?
Well, there is a spotlight on it, and it's a very curious spotlight, because I was speaking to somebody earlier today who was on the kibbutz at Kerem Shalom, working in the fields there, and he said the amount of trucks going through that crossing, which is right there, was absolutely extraordinary. Now, we know that over the last couple of days, about 1,200 trucks have entered. Yesterday, 13 countries, including Indonesia, participating in humanitarian aid airdrops. So that aid is going into Gaza. The problem, as we've been saying, is with the distribution of aid.
Right.
The special envoy on humanitarian rights from the United States has said, yes, you know, the situation on the ground is dire, but Hamas is stealing the aid. They are taking the aid. So it is recognized, but still there is this pressure on Israel that we need to send in more and send in more and send in more. And today, the chief of the IDF, Rear Admiral Deni, announcing that we are going to be opening up another terrestrial crossing. Okay. And he said our intention is to flood Gaza with humanitarian aid.
Okay, Rolene, and just to conclude our chat this afternoon, you did mention Indonesia. Well, Indonesia and Israel are involved in normalization talks for once. Let's conclude with a good news story.
Now, I know you and I love us some Abraham Accords.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what a headline to wake up to this morning, that Israel and Indonesia have quietly been speaking about the prospect of normalizing relations. Now, Indonesia want Israel to stop blocking their admittance to the OECD. This is the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development. Mm-hmm. In exchange for that, they will normalize ties with Israel. Now, guys, this is a massive game changer because Indonesia is the world's largest Muslim country.
Mm-hmm.
If Indonesia normalizes ties with Israel, this is a massive game changer.
Mm-hmm. Interesting times ahead. Very quickly, Gary's asking the question, Rolene, how do the reservists called cope financially? Do they get some form of compensation?
That's a great question. There has been a fund established to help them financially, because it does, you know, calling up these messes from everybody's workplace, and we really feel it on a daily basis.
Right.
It takes an enormous toll on businesses, it takes an enormous toll on families. So the finance minister and the defense minister have spoken about special stipends for our reservists.
Well, Gary, there's your answer from Rolene, who we've got to let go now. Rolene, thanks so much for joining us once again on the Afternoon Overdrive to bring us the latest on what's happening in Israel.